There are 13 million people with cancer in the United States, and it's estimated that about 1.3 million of these cases are hereditary. Yet despite advanced training in cancer genetics and years of practicing medicine, Dr. Thea Ross was never certain whether the history of cancers in her family was simple bad luck or a sign that they were carriers of a cancer-causing genetic mutation. Then she was diagnosed with melanoma, and for someone with a dark complexion, melanoma made no sense. It turned out there was a genetic factor at work. Using her own family's story, the latest science of cancer genetics, and her experience as a practicing physician, Ross shows how to spot the patterns of inherited cancer, how to get tested for cancer-causing genes, and what to do if you have one. The name of the book is A Cancer in the Family: Take Control of Your Genetic Inheritance. Theodora Ross is the author, and we welcome the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How long ago did all of this happen for you, where this became a real mission to learn more?
Well, you know, my family had had a lot of cancers, back in the 70s and the 80s. But really, it wasn't until in the, late 80s, early 90s, that my sister died of breast cancer at age 38. That was kind of the cancer in the family that ended an era. And she didn't really know what hit her. We didn't know what hit her. And then in the mid-90s, we started to discover these mutations in genes that ran through families. And they cause colon cancer. They cause breast cancer, ovarian cancer. And so I started to get very curious about that, but wasn't too curious. And then in the 2004, when I had melanoma, it kind of hit me that I might want to pay attention to this. And there's a little bit of a twist and turn in the story there. But the bottom line is, I didn't learn until 2004 that I had a mutation. But lucky for me, I didn't have cancer at the time. And so I got to prevent cancer and avoid death. I saved my life because of that knowledge. Go ahead.
Well, so many of us are asked that question when we visit with our doctor about our family history. So it's certainly something that is on the radar and has been known about. When has that started to become more of a real discussion point and an understanding of what can happen and what that predisposition is?
With the discovery of these genes in the 90s, that was sort of the beginning. That's when cancer genetics programs throughout the country started to be initiated and develop. But really, now with sequencing the genome, we've been able to discover more and more genes that are broken in patients who have hereditary cancers, and it's just going to continue on. And so the discussion is becoming greater and greater. But the reality is, still at this time, most people fail to track down their genetic inheritance or ask their family history in too much depth because they don't really understand that there's an upside, that they can save their life. And that's the thing that made me really say, wow, that's amazing. Even today, you'll talk to physicians and they'll say, yeah, you don't really need to know. So it's a discussion that's just beginning.
So for a whole host of reasons, there are people who will not be able to know and cannot know what their genetic inheritance is. So using that as an example, how do we compare with someone who does have that information and why they benefit from it?
You're talking about somebody who, say, for example, is adopted and they can't know their family
Yes.
history.
There aren't records or whatever. There's a million
exactly.
scenarios that we could set up. But
exactly.
Yes.
Actually, we have a great story, and I'm going to try this on you today. We have a story of a patient who had ovarian cancer, had breast cancer. Her ovarian cancer came back. We tested her for a variety of mutations, and she came up with a variation in the BRCA1 gene that we didn't know whether it meant anything. Her family, she was estranged from her family. There was nothing to tell us whether or not this variation meant anything for her. Another patient in another part of the country had the same variation. That patient's tumor was then tested, and they found that that variation in that gene, in BRCA1, caused it to be broken. It wasn't there. It wasn't expressed. We called the protein wasn't expressed. That meant that our patient, her variation, is a bad gene, is a broken gene, and now the patient is eligible for a new drug, a PARP inhibitor called olaparib, that can only be used in patients who have broken BRCA1 genes. So she didn't know, but she benefited from the research that they did on another person in a different part of the country.
Because you see patterns that develop with other people, and you can extrapolate.
Exactly.
How much of that is a gamble, and how much of that is a sure thing when you look at that and say, okay, we can take this logic and say, well, if this, then.
Well, you know, it's all a matter of the scientific method. If you have enough numbers and enough associations, you can get to a point where you're quite certain that the variation or the sequence in that gene is a bad sequence, a bad spelling versus just a normal different kind of spelling. So it really is just a numbers game. You can't just look at one person, one family, multiple families. And that's why research is so important. That's why we should share our information not just with our families, but with researchers, because they're pretty much the only hope for the future.
So let me ask the question, because when I was reading the book and I was listening to your story, and obviously you're incredibly knowledgeable and this is your field and you look at this information, and I just wonder about how much of this can fall through the cracks when we look at a healthcare system that is often very quick and is also very random, and we don't see the same person. I mean, I'm lucky. I think about this a lot because I'm lucky enough to have a doctor who was also the primary care doctor for my parents. So when he comes into that office, he has a folder that's about 8 inches thick of information, not only on me, but on mom, dad, and brothers.
Yes.
So, but we're on the, you know, that's a rarity. That is a rarity today. So how much of this is on us to figure out, and how much of it is on the medical community to keep track of?
Well, I think it's always good to keep track of everything. You keep track of your own finances, right? You don't just give the finances to a financial counselor and say, okay,
well,
you know, I don't care. So I think keeping track of your own records, having your own records, I mean, this is something that I learned the hard way, is just getting your own records, going through them, making sure they are correct. You know, all records can be wrong, whether they're medical or legal or at our court. Having your own, I think it's really good to do that, just to know yourself. It's enlightening. On the other hand, I think you should expect your healthcare providers to take your situation seriously. That's why genetic counselors are so amazing, because they will walk you through every step of the way. They will spend hours with you. They'll spend hours with you personally, you know, one-on-one, over the phone. They'll get records from physicians. They'll verify whether they think those records about the particular cancer in your family or your own cancer are correct. And so I think it's both have a responsibility, and I agree it's difficult because it takes a lot of time, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth having a good health care provider.
When you look at this, and this is a question I meant to ask you at the very beginning, but it's still apt, so let me ask you, which is, when you talk about a genetic inheritance, how do you define that? What is that? How complete is that inheritance?
Okay, so you start out with your family history. Family history is so important. Not everybody needs a genetic test, but everybody would do well to get the details of their family history of cancer and other diseases to the best of their ability. But that's a tough job, and making it accurate is a tough job. We all know that people lie or forget, or their memories change, are not correct. They're false memories. But that's definitely your inheritance in terms of your health inheritance. And then there's the genetic inheritance, the actual genes, the spelling of your genes. And so your whole genome is, you know, a combination of your mom and dad. You have two chromosomes for each, two copies of each chromosome. And so that genetic, you inherit all those genes. You can't know all of that. I think it's, you know, we have 20,000 genes and we have lots of sequences in between. But one piece of genetic inheritance would be a broken gene. So if you have Lynch syndrome and you have a broken mismatch repair gene, that's your genetic inheritance. You inherited that from mom or dad.
And if you know that information, I mean, knowing what you get from mom and dad is really key, isn't it? I mean, that's huge if you have that information.
Yes.
And
there's an estimate that, you know, so as high as 10% of our parents, our dad, not our dad. It's a paternity issue.
Really? Yeah. So when we look at your story and mm-hmm. you weave into this book, how much of this was a surprise to you, or how much of it was sort of an aha moment where all the pieces of the puzzle start to fit together?
I have to say that I probably had some subconscious fear. There was lots of uncertainty before I figured out this BRCA1 mutation in our family. So, it wasn't maybe an aha, but once we figured out the mutation, that went from that fear and that uncertainty to this instant understanding. It was this transition that was really instant and kind of exhilarating, and I thought, wow, now I get it. It makes sense. And I would look back, and a lot of things made sense. There's still some things that don't make sense, but now knowing, I realize it's a lot better than not knowing, and I may have known a little bit, but was ignoring it. So, I don't know, it's kind of an aha moment.
When you bring in your story with what we know in science, what do you want the takeaway to be in the book? When someone reads this, what do you want the takeaway to be so that we can be proactive?
I think I want people to know that there's frequently a lot they can do to manage an increased risk of cancer or other inherited diseases. I think sometimes we think that we can't track it down. We might as well ignore it. I was the same, I have to admit. But over the time, we're testing and recommending more and more preventative actions. So I think it's important to know that genetic knowledge is empowering, and it's just going to get more and more empowering. And if you look back 10 years, that retrospective perspective, you can always say, wow, 10 years ago we didn't know this, and that person died. Now we know this, and they won't. I mean, I had a colon cancer patient back when I was training in the early, mid-90s. He was 23, died of colon cancer. Today, he probably had a Lynch syndrome mutation, and he could have gotten immunotherapy, and he may not have died.
Mm-hmm. Well, the name of the book, and it is just out, is A Cancer in the Family, Take Control of Your Genetic Inheritance. It is published by Avery. Dr. Theo Ross, I thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. Best of luck with your work, and thank you for sharing your experiences with us.
Thanks, Joe.
Again, the title of the book is A Cancer in the Family by Theodora Ross. It's published by Avery. The Writer's Almanac is next. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.